The good news is that crises are not just setbacks, they are invitations to growth. Success contains a series of setbacks, and you have to use those to accelerate growth again in order to one day be successful. Welcome to today's Lightwolf podcast. Lightwolf, the podcast for leading with impact. My name is Stefan. I am a leadership catalyst and your podcast host. And today we are going to talk about a topic that every manager knows. Crisis. What to do when things go wrong? What to do when strategies do not work? What to do when we or our teams fail together? The good news is that crises are not just setbacks. They are invitations to growth. Because that's one common thing that I recognize in every single organization or individual or team that is sustainably successful. It's a topic I love studying. What is success and how do you ignite success? And wherever I look, into the worlds of sports, in the United States, in rugby, in New Zealand, in soccer, FC Bayern Munich, you name them. In businesses like Apple, like Google, like Facebook, like Nvidia, like others, success is not a linear thing that happens uninterrupted. No, it's not. Success contains a series of setbacks, and you have to use those to accelerate growth again in order to one day be successful. So that's the good news. Crises are not just setbacks, but they are invitations to growth. So today I'd like to share some of my own experience about the common causes of crisis and three specific leadership tips that may help you to turn every setback into a strength and into growth. Let's start with typical causes of crisis. Number one, blind spots in leadership. Many crises begin long before they become visible. In the comfort zone, when people are still enjoying success. When managers love receiving the signals of success, but they ignore critical voices. Then, a dangerous complacency may start to set in. Hypothetical example, a sales team celebrates high sales, but ignores the already declining customer satisfaction. Not a good idea, because declining customer satisfaction today is lost customers tomorrow and lost sales soon thereafter, and maybe a crisis, because you're overseeing the signals of lost customer satisfaction. Real example. Many of them found in one of the two best business books I've ever read in my life. The book is called Good to Great by Jim Collins, who, together with a handful of great consulting colleagues, invested 10 consultant years into asking and answering the question, has there ever been a company that turned from good, defined as 7% annual growth, to great, i.e. five times that growth sustained over a minimum period of 15 years. And after having studied about 1,440 companies in the US, the answer was yes. Those companies indeed exist. There were 11 of them. And the next question was, what was the key reason why those 11 turned from good to great, why no one else did? And reason number one, which I found reassuring and encouraging, was all about leadership. The kind of leadership in the CEO and in the C-suite that was present at the time of turning from good to great. And those 11 CEOs, those women and men who were at the helm at the time of turn from good to great, had one key thing in common. They led and role modeled two seemingly contradictory skills in one human being. Strong willpower to to get the right thing done, and at the same time sheer endless personal humility. They always made clear that they are serving a greater good rather than their own egos. So that's to me the strongest of evidences that I could see. And it's amazing to see how many times the exact opposite happens. Rather than humility, people put their spots on egos. They ignore first signs of setbacks. And that's the exact opposite. That's a dangerous complacency that often is a precursor to crisis later on. Real example that I lived through in my own company where I was employed first in my first 18 years. Very successful global business that was run by a CEO at the time who deserved credit for us because he had led the company to the highest share price ever. So he had done some things remarkably well and deserved credit for it. At that time, I was a marketing director leading about 4% of the global sales with paper products in feminine hygiene, in baby care, and in hygiene paper. And on one of my flagship brands, I had already increased pricing by 20% in 20 months because we were underpriced. We didn't have enough marketing money. So it was right. I initiated those first two price increases. The third one, so 30% in 30 months, was risky, but acceptable. And I was very supportive of doing it. But the third one, i.e. 40% in 40 months, was predictable suicide of a brand icon. So I heavily recommended against. I had my general manager behind me, our continental manager, our global country manager, and we had the two category captains, the regional and the global one, all behind us supporting that, no, we should not do that. But we were missing one important person, and that was the global CEO, who took my recommendation not to increase pricing and wrote down, quote, "No need to return. Please execute," unquote. So we had to execute. And so we did. Probably because of a very dangerous hubris, trying to just take even more risk, blind spots of those risks, and not listening to people below, to many people below, self included. Consequence? Massive crisis. The share price plummeting from $116 to $56 in just 2 days. Next consequence? CEO lost his job because he was the first one in the company's history asked to be gone. And he went. And consequence for me? Yeah, I had some trouble in my business, but then luckily we got a new CEO. Our global and regional leaders came to see me and asked, "Stefan, if you had 10 million, where would you invest into higher marketing or lower price?" And I said, "Sorry, Mark, we need both. We need to lower price and increase marketing. And I need 20 million rather than 10 million. And we turned the business around, which was costly. It would have been much less costly to avoid the mistake, but that's what happened. Blind spots in leadership. Another common root cause of crisis is quick solutions instead of deep root cause analysis. When there is a fire, we often reach for plasters instead of real root cause analysis. But real crisis requires depth. If you only manage symptoms, you will soon see the crisis again. The same crisis. Often just bigger. Example. Hypothetical example. After a team conflict, the project manager is transferred to another part of the organization. But the toxic meeting culture remains. Well, guess what happens next? The issue is going to prevail. The crisis is going to get even bigger. And a third common root cause of crisis that occurred in my career is a culture of silence. When employees hide mistakes instead of addressing them head on and openly, pressure builds up. a crisis becomes an explosion instead of an opportunity. Hypothetical example. In a change project, nobody says that nobody understands the new strategy. Everyone pretends to know enough. No one dares to speak up until the implementation fails and crisis starts. So that's often another root cause, the culture of silence. And now a real example that I experienced a few years ago, already with my own company, with my team. We had about 25 client projects running at the time. One of them was in a private equity environment for a CEO who told me, quote, "Stefan, yes, we have a strategy written down. Here, I'm going to send you a copy confidentially. It contains 180 pages. It was ordered by our PE owner. It was created by one of the top 3 global strategy consulting firms. But honestly, no one in my C-suite understands this strategy." Unquote. No wonder that that strategy wasn't executed because the C-suite didn't understand it and hence was not able to communicate it and to get it into the execution at all. But rather than speaking up, there was a culture of silence, which isn't good. So these are the 3 most frequent reasons why crisis occurred in my career. Let's now turn the page and talk about potential solutions. How can you deal with this? How can you turn crisis into growth? I have 3 ideas for you. Number 1, learn out loud. Make mistakes visible. Say openly what you have misjudged yourself. Example, I stuck to plan A too long. What should I have seen earlier? If you ask that question to your own team with tangible honesty and you do it in a way that increases the feeling of safety all around you, that people feel confident and comfortable to share the mistakes you made and that you might have seen earlier, then you'll be rewarded with a perspective, with trust, with ideas how next time you might be able to avoid the crisis rather than let it happen. Let me share a real life example on top from my own in-laws who are on their way right now. As we speak, it's Easter and we will have an Easter weekend together that I really look forward to with my boys, with my wife, with my in-laws. Those very in-laws have run an independent retail business in a drugstore for almost 35 years. When they started, at the beginning of their independent entrepreneur careers, there were about 15,500 of those small individual drug markets in the country where they lived. Due to the emergence of drugstore chains, the number of independent drugstores reduced from 15,500 shops to less than 200 shops over 3 decades. Many gave up. Many did not survive. But they and their business survived well and comfortably. One of the key reasons? The question, what can we do better? What can we improve? That question was asked and discussed at least once a month, sometimes on a weekly basis. That's one of the key reasons why they managed to get through the crisis really well. This creates psychological safety in the team. And based on that, many ideas, including some really good ideas, can grow. So tip number 1 for you, learn out loud. Make mistakes visible. Tip number 2, use crisis for collective reframing. After the initial shock, ask the question, what does this crisis want to show us? Use workshops to gain insights together. Setbacks become building blocks for maturity, strength and growth. Again, a real-life example from our consultancy. Back in 2020, specifically on March the 10th, 2020, the COVID pandemic heavily hit the market here in Central Europe. Because that was the day when many countries decided to change the rules of people being allowed to meet in any room or in public. And at the time, we were supporting about 25 different companies. One of them was a well-known publishing house in Germany, a market-leading publishing house with more than 100 print titles. And their business model used to be that with about 250 live client meetings per year, they raised all their media funds, all their investments into their print titles. Now, the pandemic hits. Now, live meetings are impossible because illegal. So what to do? And coincidentally, at the time, I was supporting leadership development with one lady who was instrumental to starting the turnaround. She went to their general management and said, look, guys, I have an idea how we can start meeting online professionally and effectively. I just need a few days of time and I need your backing. And the GM said, look, we don't have an alternative. Here is our backing. She went back and 2 days later came with a proposal how to use Teams, Zoom, Google Meet and other frameworks to meet virtually. And she got approval. And so they started meeting online rather than offline. And the result was that she even increased the number of meetings per year. Of course, because no one had to travel anymore. Travel time was reinvested into meeting preparation or meeting time. So annualized, after 1 year, the number of client meetings had increased from 250 to 350, a significant increase. The effectiveness of the meetings, the productivity went up. And as a result of this handling of a crisis and reframing a crisis, this publishing house was able to sustain sales in a market that was collapsing, right? So well done to that house and to that leader who helped turn the business around by collective reframing. And three, establish an error-friendly reflection routine. Instead of only reflecting during crisis, make it a regular habit at any time. Formats like Failure Fridays or What We Learned This Week or Postmortem instead of Blaming or Lunch and Learn or any other format that's fitting well into your company culture could be one of your ways forward. Small rituals with big impacts. So all in all, three tips how to turn crisis and mistakes and setbacks into growth and growth going forward. First, learn out loud. Make mistakes visible. Two, use crisis for collective reframing. And three, build an error-friendly reflection routine. I hope at least one of those tips is useful for you in your business. And now I have a little request. A little kind request. Because this topic is so important to so many listeners here in the Lightwolf podcast, I'm asking you kindly to please participate in a quick and simple poll. It takes you less than half a minute and it's all about learning from crisis in your organization. So if you could please invest these 30 seconds, this will help all of us move forward as one united leadership community and learn with each other and for each other. Thank you in advance for your participation. Crises are a part of every organization's life, but leadership is shown in how you use them. Not to apportion blame, but to gain new strength through clarity and courage. If you learn openly as a leader, and if you role model that, you create an environment in which others dare to do the same. And remember, an organization is never crisis-free, but it can become crisis-strong. Thank you very much for listening. And if you did enjoy this episode, then please share it with other executives, with other people interested in learning about leadership. And if you like it, please take your smartphone now. Subscribe in Spotify, subscribe to the Lightwolf podcast in iTunes or in any other streaming service of your preference. Hit the subscribe button now and you'll never miss anymore any of the Lightwolf episodes. One a week, one with new tips on how you can become the leader you want to become. Thank you for your time today and see you very soon.